Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, welcome everybody back to the We Are Women podcast, where we're interviewing women of success, women masterminds who've got great stories to tell, great information to share. And today I have got Maria Brady. Now, Maria, tell me what your business name is.
Maria Brady, actually.
Hang on, let me just write that one down. See if I can remember that.
It was very difficult for people to remember pain relief kinesiology because they thought, how the hell am I supposed to actually spell that? So I just went back to basics and it's mariabrady.com.au.
Very, very easy to find then as well. And as you just shared with us, it's kinesiologist. So you are a kinesiologist.
Yes.
And I'm just finding my notes here on my bio intro to Maria. Great start. Okay. No, because I know there's so, look, you know, I wing a lot of these introductions, but I don't want to wing this one because there's some really good stuff that you've been doing. All right. Co-authored the Spirit of Success book with the late Wayne Dyer.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, how amazing would that have been?
I feel very honored to actually have been, you know, in that. So it's lovely.
Yeah. And cover girl at the Kinesiology Schools of Australia magazine.
Yeah.
Of course, she's gorgeous. So there we go. That's well done.
Thank you.
And has a 2-page feature success story article. Mm. So you'll be easy to find. It'll be easy to track down, seeing you haven't got a technical business name. It's just Maria Brady. And you've also published some articles online in the Y magazine.
Yep, that's right.
And you've held corporate workshops, which have tailored for the Logan Women's Health and Community Centre.
Yeah.
And that's a not-for-profit organisation, isn't it?
Unfortunately, they closed down a couple of years ago.
Goodness me.
Yeah, they were having a lot of difficulty getting funding from the government and they just decided that they're going to have to close their doors. So it was a real shame because the women there, you know, needed it. Mm. So it was a bit sad. But I did thoroughly enjoy having the workshops there.
So, an upfront communications corporate training company as well, so doing workshops for them. And you've been finalist in the Quest Business Achievers Award in the health category for 2 years.
That's right.
And that's not an easy feat to get. And so you've bringing 17 years of counselling and kinesiology experience. Maria has highest recognised qualification in Australia for kinesiology. Yeah. She also enjoys keeping up to date with personal and professional courses each year. And as you do, love to walk the talk.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've got to keep growing. If we're not growing, we're dying.
That's right.
Her passion and vision is to help her clients find the root cause of their issues and problems and stresses and allow them to grow, heal, and become more aware of themselves. And that's becoming a theme for nearly every interview, whether we're talking about finances or health,
really?
Is becoming aware of ourselves and our true authentic potential. Her clients find more clarity, focus, and confidence. So in a nutshell, Maria helps her clients find themselves. Mm. And I'm going to be so interested in the next hour as to how you do that through your modality. This is the beauty of listening and learning from each of the women that I've had share their information, their stories. There's so many ways to find ourselves, know who we are, you know, live our true authentic self.
Absolutely.
That there's no excuse not to.
No, that's exactly right. I actually have a trademark for a logo and it's ILIA and it's spelt YLIA and that stands for Your Life in Awareness. So, yeah.
That's it.
It's all about being aware.
Being aware, isn't it? And so why kinesiology?
Well, I certainly didn't ever expect to do anything, actually. I spent most of my life hiding and keeping to myself.
That's not the Maria I know. at all.
No, not now.
Tell me more.
Oh, gosh. A long, long time ago. Once upon a time, even. I think I was about 7 years old. And, I mean, before then I was happy and bubbly, loved life, loved to play, loved to giggle. And I remember this one day that a teacher basically said to me, you know, you're being naughty, come out the front. I was laughing or talking or whatever, as you do in class, you know, when you're seven.
As I did all the way through school. I can't see a problem with it, actually.
Yep. So grade two, been told to come up to the front of the class, put my hands behind my back and poke my tongue out. And, of course, I remember looking at the sea of faces and they were just all laughing and thought it was hilarious and I was so embarrassed. But it didn't stop there. What she did then, the teacher grabbed a pair of scissors and she held them open to my tongue and she said, if you ever laugh or talk in my class again, I'll cut your tongue off. And, of course, I was beside myself.
It would be mortifying for anyone, yeah, let alone a child of 7 years, yeah, old. That is disgraceful, yeah, isn't it?
It really was. Goodness. It was big and I just remember looking out wanting somebody to help me and all the kids. I just looked out and saw everybody's mouth open and just staring at me wide-eyed. And, yeah, it was a horrible experience. And so from there I actually became invisible. I didn't want to be in trouble. I never went home and told my parents because I thought, oh, my God, I've been so naughty and so bad that the teacher was going to cut my tongue off. How could I go back to my parents and tell them what had happened? Because I didn't want to get into more trouble for being so bad. So I really just, you know, just shut my mouth and never spoke again.
That's not surprising. But that I'm still stunned. I'm sitting here just stunned that could happen to a child. And so from then being invisible, you know, what happened? How was the rest of your schooling then?
The rest of the schooling was really bad because, as you could imagine, I had no confidence left at all, no self-esteem. All as I wanted to do was just sit there quietly, hope that nobody would even notice me. Like, I didn't want the teachers to ask me any questions or anything like that. And, of course, I was an easy target for other children to pick on because of that low confidence and low self-esteem. So I sort of struggled a lot through schooling and my parents ended up sending me to another school because they had thought, you know, well, what is wrong with the school system? And she's not learning anything and she's failing everything. And so they sent me to another school and, of course, that was even worse because I was so far behind with the kids in the class and what they knew. And so the teacher was always constantly getting cross at me. And, of course, again, low self-esteem, the children just kept picking on me. And that's how I, you know, went through the whole of my schooling. I actually stopped reading when I was in grade 9, so I was about 14. Because, you know, it's some kids' worst nightmare to have to stand up and read in front of the class. And at that stage, I didn't know that I have something called dyspraxia. So dyspraxia is like dyslexia, but it's got the extra fun bits in it, like no coordination.
I've got to say fun bits. I was waiting for these fun bits as well.
Yeah, no coordination. I bump into people when I walk along, so I sort of, you know, have in place now some little tools and techniques that I can do to get away with it, and I just laugh. I think it's hilarious now, but yeah, back then I didn't. So
not as a child.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard enough getting through school.
Yeah, exactly.
As it is.
Yeah. So I stopped reading when I was in grade 9, and because the teacher said to me, you know, sit down, you're being stupid, and all as I heard was the words, sit down, you are stupid. It's not what she said. It's just what I heard because all of my schooling I had kept hearing that in one form or another. So, yeah, I left school thinking that it was going to get better because I was going to put all of that horrible school days behind me. And what I didn't realize at that time was that I'm the common denominator. I actually took myself with me. So it didn't matter. I went from an authority place at school to a job that had an authority figure. So anybody with authority, there was this fear, this dread of doing the wrong thing. And so I just constantly kept putting myself in these little holes.
Wow. And it really sort of shows now, you know, why your passion is for people to be able to find themselves. Yeah. No, truly, you were totally lost.
Yep. Completely.
And to be lost for, you know, that many years. And so was going into kinesiology, was that the factor that you – you know, that turned things around? Is that's what changed
things?
No.
What turned it around? I was 34 and I turned on Oprah. Occasionally I would. I married somebody who was very controlling, so I didn't watch a lot of television.
It's quite natural that you're in that controlled situation. Absolutely. So you did.
Absolutely, yeah. Because I needed to be told what to do and how to behave and all of that. So but I turned on Oprah this one particular day, and I remember her interviewing a guy called Gary Zukav, and I was on the seat, you know, and I was anticipating what he was going to say next, and he had just brought out his new book called The Seed of the Soul, and I had no idea what he was talking about, actually, really. He was talking about this authentic self, and I went, What is he talking about? What is it? But I just remember that I just hung off every word he was saying. And I remember saying to myself as well, oh my God, I don't want this to end. I don't want this to end. I want more. And I thought, well, how am I going to get more? Oh my God, I've got to go and buy a book.
Oh, one of those things with paper and words.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, something that I hadn't done for 20 years.
Yeah. I was going to say, how long since you read?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, not that I didn't read anything.
But a book.
Exactly. Mm. You know, I read what I needed to, what I could get away with, but anything else, that was it.
And I'm just thinking that, you know, I've read his books.
Mm.
And of all the books to choose to be the first book you read after 20 years, go, girl.
I know.
it's amazing stuff. If my listeners haven't read any of his books, then
well worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, I actually have been told it was probably one of the more difficult books. So I remember it. I think it probably took me about, I don't know, 2 months to read the first two chapters.
Well, it's so conceptual as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I just had to keep reading it backwards and forwards and sideways and all the rest of it. And I do remember a specific time when my mum had rung me and she said to me, there's something different about you. And I went, yes, I'm reading this book. And she went, oh, that's nice. But
little
she didn't
did she
know
where that was going to go.
Well, that's exactly right. But they still had no idea. You know, at the age of 34, they still didn't know that I'd been carrying all of this stuff for all that time since I was 7 years old.
And when were you able to share that with them?
When I turned 40.
Wow.
Yeah. So from that little show that I saw with Gary Zukav, then that got me looking at things, and things started happening and things started changing. And I remember finding out that my ex-husband had an affair with a homestay student that was living with us for 4 years.
Nice.
Yes, it was actually lovely because that allowed me to release myself from a very unhappy marriage that I'd been in for such a long time. So all of
gave
these
the
things.
Permission then to,
absolutely.
To, yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
That's you another know, tick that or a cross, I should say. Cross that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I now believe that every experience that we have in our lives is for a reason. Mm. Everything that I've gone through is great because I've gotten over it and I'm able to help people. You
and
know,
and that's
stuff.
A beautiful perspective to stand from and go, oh, thank you for all those lessons.
Mm.
I have this little thing that I do if I get a lesson. They're usually pretty simple ones.
Yeah.
Universe, thank you.
Yeah.
Because I pay attention.
Yeah.
Most of the time. So if I get a lesson, you know, which is something that steps you out of your comfort zone and you, or something goes wrong or whatever it is, I get a lesson and go, thank you, I've got it. You don't need to show me another version of it.
That's exactly right.
I've got that one now. I'll listen to it.
Exactly. I didn't do that at that stage.
Well, you didn't know. And lots of people don't realize that they are in control of that by listening to,
their body.
Mm. What am I going to learn?
Exactly. So at the age of 38, I decided I would go through a little mini midlife crisis and started realizing that I needed to do something. I was drawn to do something, but I didn't know what it was. And a friend of mine actually said, you'd be so good at counseling because you listen to people and you really, understand what they're going through and stuff like that. So I actually found a college where I didn't have to do any exams because, again,
reading.
I had to put myself in a class. And all of those things came up again, and so I found myself in the counselling classes at the back of the room, hoping that no teacher was going to do it. But what I realised then, it was different. I was mature, I was an adult, and they didn't treat me like a kid. So if you wanted to do something or ask something or say something, you actually had to do something or ask something or say
or respond
something
or contribute, and
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So I did about a half a year to a year of that, and then I went, there's still something missing. And so I went searching, and I went to a mind body spirit festival or similar to, and I remember walking in the door and I saw this guy do this weird thing to this arm of this other person, and went, what on earth is that? Looked up at the sign. I could not pronounce the word. Then I went, okay, well, I'll leave that. I'm here to find what I need to find. And I didn't realize that was it. So went into a lecture with him, and he had a little 20-minute talk, and everybody was there and talking about it. And he basically said, this works on the physical, but it also works on the emotional side. And I went, oh, my God. This is it. And I haven't looked back since.
Yeah.
So that was back in 2005.
And the word was kinesiology.
The word was kinesiology. Yes, I realise when you know how to say it, it's easy. Kinesiology.
It is.
Yeah.
So before we get into more of this, just explain for somebody that hasn't ever heard about kinesiology, like you hadn't that day.
Yeah.
Explain in a minute or so what it is, please.
All right. Basically, the word means movement of muscle, and that's it. So being able to use kinesiology on the way that I do it is finding we use a muscle, and it's an indicator muscle. So it could be an arm or a leg or whatever, and it's a matter of actually making sure that it has integrity. So it's got nothing to do with strength of that muscle, it's just got to do with the integrity. So what I do is apply a little light pressure and I get that person to resist against my pressure. And once I've sort of worked out that's good and it's holding and everything, I turn a muscle off. And what happens there is that the muscle sends a biofeedback message to the brain saying it has to loosen, and then the brain sends a message back to the muscle saying you're too tight, you've got to loosen. So most of the clients, if they've never experienced it before, they sort of look at you with this weird look on their face going, what just happened? So, did you press harder? No, I didn't press harder. Your muscle just let go. So once we've done that, then I can actually start asking questions. So I get the client to say, their name, and they say their name and their muscle holds. And then I might get them to say a different name, my name is Tony, and their muscles don't hold, and they're sort of going, oh, my goodness. So it's sort of a little bit like a lie detector in some cases.
That's what the FBI needs.
Exactly. But what it really does is when we start asking questions, the conscious mind will actually say things out of our mouth. Sometimes it's not quite right, like the change of the name. And the body is responding because we are tapping into the subconscious and unconscious mind. So, the iceberg thing, there's a little bit poking out the top and then the rest is all the way down the bottom. We really only use 10%, if that, of our brain, and the rest is way under.
And I can see how, you know, coming from that space of not knowing yourself and not being sure about yourself and having those, you know, I want to melt away and so disappear, as your terminology, coming across something like this that, you know, you found could free you and could free other people up would be, you know, wonder you're always at a high.
Well, yeah, and because it's not just that as well. It's about living in a positive space. You know, it's about thinking positive thoughts and saying positive words and being around positive people. That's why I've got a smile on my face all the time, because, you know, I love who I am now, and I embrace who I am, warts and all, dyspraxia and all, bumping into people.
I've never bumped into me. I haven't noticed it anyway, so it's well disguised. Yeah. You know, I'm going to look for it now.
Yeah, I thought you might.
It'll be stuck there now. I'm going to. So, you know, if you had to start a sentence, I believe, what would you say?
I believe that so many people are becoming more aware of what's going on around them. You know, in so many different levels, it's mental, it's physical, it's emotion, it's spiritual, everything. That's why I've got that that logo, Ilya, Your Life in Awareness. It's all about the awareness.
Mm. And as I said, each of the interviews, you know, no matter what the topic has been, and they've all been very diverse topics, is this, again, this sense of, you know, becoming aware of yourself. And as we grow, and we're not just growing, that society is not just growing, we're evolving. Yep. And particularly women who have got that opportunity to connect with themselves are evolving into more creative, able.
That's right. And it is more.
Excellent people.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah. So you do what you do because?
Because I love helping women, like seriously. I love helping women find themselves and, you know, seeing them become empowered, having that confidence and that positive self-worth, which is what I didn't have. I don't want people to go and live, you know, they need to have their best lives put forward. They need to find themselves so that they actually live, blossom and grow and nurture themselves and take care of themselves, and then they can take care of other people as well.
And that's an important factor too, because the best we can be is the better we can help other people.
Yeah.
And we are our most important asset.
Yep.
It's not our house. It's not our car. It's not our children. It's not our partner. We are our most important asset.
Absolutely.
Aren't we? So, and the better we are, the better we can cope with the stuff that comes along, the better we can help those people that we care most about.
That's right. But the first person that we need to help is ourselves.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to strengthen that up. So you mostly work with women?
Yes. It's usually around 80 to 90%. Of the time that I work with women. I work with some men and they're amazing and they're open. So I'm working with a young guy actually. He's 33 and he's a new client of mine, and he is just fantastic. You know, he's doing what I do at the end of the session is to find out what home reinforcement is needed, and they need to basically take responsibility and do whatever it is before they come back for their next session. And he's going great guns. It's so good to see.
He's doing his homework?
He is doing his home reinforcement.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah, homework is work. This is reinforcement. of what we're doing in the session.
Yeah, I like that word, home reinforcement.
Yeah.
Because it does. And so women particularly, you know, what is it about women that you're finding you're getting more female clients, other than being a female? You know, is there something that you're finding, particularly in the clients that you're dealing with, that's pretty common?
Yes. The main problems is low self-esteem, low confidence, low self-worth. They don't feel validated or heard, and they tend to put other people's needs always first.
Yeah, that's
always first.
That's something that's been learnt, isn't it?
From- absolutely, absolutely. And then, you know, that leads to burnout as well. So feeling stressed and anxious and overwhelmed, and they've got headaches and body aches and pains that manifest in their body. And then that all goes round and round in a cycle.
Mm.
It just keeps going.
And and I know that you've downloaded my top five barriers to success book, and one of the things in there is that feeling stressed because they're trying to do everything.
Yeah.
And I know that's part of the thing that you focus on too, is that women's belief we have to be all to everybody and
that's
be able
exactly
to be
right.
capable at doing everything.
That's right.
It's unrealistic, but we...
It is. Who's Superwoman or Wonder Woman? We all think we have to be that, but we don't. We have to give to ourselves first. A lot of people think, I'm being selfish. Well, no, you're not. You're being selfless.
Yes.
You know, yes. It's about helping yourself. What do? You get on an aeroplane and they go through the precaution list and they say, you know, if the mask falls down, put yours on first and then help other people. Because if you're covered by smoke inhalation and everything, you're no good to anybody.
No.
You're really not. So we have to start realizing that we are the most important person in our lives.
Mm.
And when we get that, then we can fill ourselves up. We can give ourselves that nurturing and that love that we need. Nobody else is going to do that for us. We have to be responsible for that. And I love the word responsible. It's the ability to respond.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about blame. It's about being able to respond. So,
and that's one of the things that I use in the NLP coaching, that you aren't at blame,
mm-mm.
but you are responsible.
Absolutely.
And
for everything.
Yes. I know. And it's a big learning. It is really a big learning.
Yep.
It's okay. I'm not going to blame myself.
No.
But I am going to take responsibility.
Absolutely.
It's quite a different mindset. And then by taking responsibility, then you can love yourself. You can value yourself. You
yep.
can respect yourself. You can nurture yourself.
That's
you can
right.
be the strongest, fittest, healthiest, most well-balanced
yep.
mindset,
everything
person that you can be. Can you imagine having someone like that is available to the others around people to tap into those resources because that person is so strong?
That's right.
And that's what, you know, when I'm going to be the same when you're talking to people who put others before themselves all the time, then they're actually not offering the best that they could offer.
Well, they're not. They're drained.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, what you just mentioned the problem. So what are the three main problems that you see from people that come to you?
The problems?
The three biggest problems or issues that they might have.
Well, and that's what I said before. It's definitely that burnout, that low confidence and self-esteem. And
yeah, that overwhelm feeling that.
Yeah, yeah that's yeah. exactly right. You know, yeah. a lot of, well, not a lot, but there's quite a big majority of people that have body aches and pains. So, you know, they might have, you know, sore shoulders or sore backs or sore knees or sore feet or whatever it is. And that's only because we've got different layers of ourselves. We've got the emotional layer. We've got the spiritual layer. We've got the energetic layer. We've got all of these different layers. And the physical layer is the last layer. So if we leave our emotions unchecked for such a long time, eventually it hits our physical body. Or we could have a physical experience, for example, you know, being in a car accident and being hurt by that. And we go driving along that same road at that same intersection and we see the same similar car that hit us. We then go, oh, my goodness, my shoulder's aching and I don't know why, you know. On a subconscious and unconscious level, we've just gone back to that pain. So people go, I don't know why my body's aching. I did nothing. You know, I didn't go to the gym. I didn't do any exercise to hurt myself. I didn't do any gardening. But they don't realize that there is an emotional component still attached to the muscle. It's like a muscle memory of that incident. So it goes both ways.
Yeah. I'd recognize the first, but the second way of identifying it with the not just, you know, the physical representation of a disease in the body, but that representation of the emotional disease in a traumatic situation, and then how it can be
it's stored,
anchored,
exactly,
locked into the body.
That's right.
And normally with NLP, neurolinguistic programming, you're talking about anchoring good points or clearing points out of the body, but you're actually anchoring in
the bad things
that you don't want to occur.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. I had a friend a while back, and she was just complaining about shoulders and just this pain across the top of her shoulders. And for those that have listened to other podcasts, will know that I do a bit of intuitive work, and I've just said to her, "So, what burden are you carrying?"
Mm.
And she's just had an aha moment, and she realized that she had been thinking about getting divorced for quite a long period of time and hadn't taken any steps to do it. And she then recognized that it was just affecting her body big time.
Exactly.
And then made steps to move forward, and the shoulder pain disappeared. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and it was
because that you're playing with the metaphysical levels then. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it represented it in real life. So so that burnout, it's – and what else? What other problems have you're seeing? I know
it's mainly the low confidence, as I said before, you know, but it doesn't show up that way. So people might come saying, "Oh, I'm having problems at work," or "I'm having problems at home," or "I'm just tired. I've got no energy." And when we actually find out what's going on and really delve into that a little bit deeper, then we realize that, you know, it's all to do with they're not saying no. They're saying yes to everything and everyone, whether they want to do it or not. They're becoming a martyr, or they're put in a situation where they, you know, they don't want to say no because, you know, what happens if they say no and somebody might think that I don't like them, and that gets tiring, really, really gets tiring.
It does, and yeah, it certainly would. So, I mean, that's a whole sense of self-worth, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
So,
and that's what I'm saying. It always realistically comes back to that low confidence, low self-worth and self-value. So we really, you know, once we actually find and start digging and finding the root causes as to what's going on in the body, that's what it always comes back to.
So looking at those problems that you see the most is that low self-confidence and those issues. It's that burnout, that, you know, feeling stressed and anxious and overwhelmed, which is, you know, as you said, creating the headaches and the body aches.
Yeah.
And it's also that not feeling validated or heard and putting other people's needs ahead of your own.
Yeah,
there's certainly look, I'm sure there's people that are listening to this that are going, that are either recognizing one or all of the above problems and points, and and I imagine it becomes quite cyclical as well, so it just goes on and
absolutely
on and on and on and on, and
that's right,
and one
and most people don't want to talk about it, or most people don't want to let their friends know that they're having issues because people wear masks. You go to a networking event and everybody's good and everybody's fine, but what kind of day do they have at the beginning, you know? Did the cat get sick? Did the child play up? Did the husband lose his temper? You have no idea what goes on in their heads. And yet when you turn up, everybody's happy.
And we've got this little suitcase we're towing along behind us, haven't we?
That's exactly
right.
With
our baggage in it.
Absolutely. And some of them are big bags.
Some of them are overpacked, overstuffed. And
exactly.
And they'll have to pay a penalty for the extra weight that they carry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so much lighter once you actually start releasing and letting some of that go.
Yeah.
You don't need to carry it with you.
I heard the analogy of a suitcase years ago and what you get on a plane with, and because we're traveling through life, you know, the whole journey analogy thing, but I've just got this vision now of this overstuffed suitcase I've seen with some people. It's just, oh, so much shit in it.
Yeah, exactly.
They just keep loading it in and loading
it in
and loading it in, and not knowing that they have a choice to release it. and how they can release it.
That's right.
As well. Look, you know, I'm an advocate of kinesiology and one of the first times that I ever experienced kinesiology was with my son, who's now nearly 30. He was 12, and I used to take him for a kinesiology balance is the word, thank you, at the start of every school year.
Right.
And he was diagnosed with ADHD. So right. Super intelligent kid.
Yeah.
And super no behavioural problems because we worked really hard on that, but scattered.
Yeah.
You know, 100 miles an hour.
That's right, not focusing on one thing.
Oh, exactly the same now as a 30-year-old adult who's an electrician and wires people's houses up.
Right.
But he can focus on one thing actually now if he stays in and work is his focus and everything else is scattered. But I used to take him for a balance at the start of every school year for quite a few years before he was ever diagnosed with that, just because I knew that helped him just
center himself.
So centering was a good word. And at the time, you know, couldn't afford to do it on a regular basis, which obviously would have helped a lot more, but it made such a difference with him. And so that was then having balances myself and just finding, you know, going, oh, I knew it was something like that. And just going, right, and being aware. Isn't that the big thing when you go,
it is.
Right.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep, absolutely. And it is. It's like a validation. Because the thing is that we know everything. We know everything to do with healing, recuperation. And so what I do is basically step in and I'm the mediator between you and your unconscious mind, basically.
I was thinking about who you're talking about, we, and I realized you're going, that sits back there as
absolutely
the unconscious mind.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's part of us. That's the part where all knowledge is known.
Yes, it is, about ourselves, and it's all sitting there, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You watch that TV show that's called Limitless, that's on at the moment?
I see the movie.
Right, I never saw the movie, and I record everything I watch and usually watch about 10 o'clock at night, and I'm just fascinated with the show because of the potential when he has this limitless capability of knowing everything.
Yeah.
And that's what you're looking at with the kinesiology, isn't it? Is that limitless possibility.
Absolutely.
Of the unconscious mind bringing the issue, the healing, the recognition forward into that conscious space.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it is. It's wow.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And look, anyone listening who's never had kinesiology before, I highly recommend it. And if you're in Brisbane in particular or anywhere near Brisbane, then no technical name for the business name, Maria Brady, you'll find it. South side of Brisbane. Yeah. I love that. That's really cool.
I know.
makes it easy for me.
Yeah. Exactly.
So the benefits. Now, the benefits of kinesiology.
There are so many benefits of kinesiology, but what if we're going to narrow it down to three: releasing the emotional and physical pain in the body and finding that real root cause as to what's going on. And it's on a metaphysical level, as well as recognizing and, you know, working out what the limiting beliefs are, and then eliminating those old patterns, habits. If we think of our brain like a computer, we put lots of new programs in there, but we don't declutter. So, you know, we're adding and 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 we really don't. It's like the baggage again.
Yeah.
We don't need all this stuff. So being able to get rid of the stuff that doesn't work properly anymore or it doesn't serve us properly anymore, and then we get a more effective body and mind by letting go of what we don't need. You know, that's the whole thing of releasing it.
And just on that point, and the figure's gone out of my head, it's either 32 million or 2 million, but I think it's 32 million. So go with me on this, okay? 32 million bits of information, even if it's
yes.
32 million. 32 million bits of information coming to us at any second.
Absolutely.
So, and our unconscious mind goes, whoa.
Absolutely.
And looks after our nervous system.
That's where the stress is.
That's it.
Overload.
So until you think about that you're sitting on a chair, you don't think about sitting on a chair. You don't think about breathing until you're told to breathe.
Yeah.
So there's only about 132 bits of information that we can take in, and we chunk it down to about seven chunks.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so all of that's just going on every moment of every day.
Absolutely. And that's a lot of stuff.
It is a lot of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
And most of it won't be remembered. It won't be taken in.
No.
But there's other stuff going on around us, especially if we're the type of person that recognises other people, that not recognises, that's not the right word, that we go, I want to play their game now.
Actually, you probably do on some level recognise it if you really think about it.
Yeah, so it's a way of whatever you're choosing to recognise it is. Yes,
that's right.
I did use the right word at the right time.
You did.
But we decide that we're going to take on somebody else's crap as well.
Exactly. We're good at that. We really, really are.
So, and other benefits?
Yes, another benefit is that the clients that come to me, they really feel heard in their sessions, and I teach them simple things like how to set boundaries, and I teach them how to say no.
Mm. Okay, so they take a plastic laminated card home with them with the word no on it, stick it up around the house.
Well, That then comes to home reinforcement. So, you know, there may be an affirmation or something that they need to say around that, or I might get them to practice something, and I might get them to get somebody else in the family, so either a child or their husband, to help them with that. So they really have to stand up and say, okay, John, I need you to help me, honey. I want you to ask me something, and I'm going to say no. It can be as simple as that, because what needs to be done is that practice. And so when it actually makes sense, the brain's got it already. And so when somebody then asks them to do something and they go, oh, I really don't want to do this, they don't have to say no, but what they can say is, let me think about that and I'll get back to you.
So that gives them a point.
It gives them a breather. Mm. It gives them time to.
Do they then just ignore the person, never get back to them? No. I could see that happening though. Oh, I forgot to call back.
Exactly. So, but it gives them a breather and it gives them a space to be able to really work out if it is something that they want to do and that they have the time to do it, or if it's something that they really don't want to do. And if it's not 100% yes, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Saying no is one of the hardest things.
It is. It's a difficult thing. But once you've got it and once you've practiced, then it's not so difficult.
Can I just tell you what I just said no to between this morning?
Absolutely.
A friend of mine texted me and offered me a free ACD ticket tomorrow night. So everyone listening to this who's an ACD fan is going to go, what the? And look, it was such a wonderful, generous offer, and I thought about it, and I like ACDC, but I'm not one of their passionate fans.
Yeah.
And I'd planned that I'd probably have a date night with my husband tomorrow night.
Right.
So it was, but this automatic thing thinking, oh yeah, I should take that up because it's a good offer, or I should. And the word should came into my mind, and I went, no, that's not what I want to do.
Exactly.
You know, and it was such a beautiful, generous offer, and that was part of this obligation that I was starting to feel. And I thought, and I rang my husband. He said, oh, I don't care if you want to go. And then I thought about it and I thought, if I want to go, no, I want to do what we had planned to do. So it was a really big, big no. And then everyone listening who's an ACD fan is slapping me around the head going, really? You know, I can imagine they're a few hundred dollars of tickets as well, but it was just, and it was,
that's
it
right.
was quite empowering.
Absolutely. And that's the other part of it is not to feel guilty when you say no. Mm. So, you know, again, it comes with practice, and you practice on little things.
Yeah. And I know my friend Mary's going to be listening to these podcasts as well. So, hey, Mary.
Yeah.
Loved it. Thank you. I really appreciate it. and not feeling guilty.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I suppose the third main benefit is that over a period of time they realize how much more confident they become in themselves. I had a client last night actually and saw her and I just looked at her and I went, wow, you are totally transformed. And she had this big smile on her face and she said, oh, she said, I feel like a completely new, different woman. And I went, well, I can see that. You know, it's just oozing out of her. It's just absolutely wonderful. You know, we tend to then put ourselves first and we're okay with that, you know, because we know that the other way really wasn't working for us anyway in the first place.
It's so interesting that we keep doing something, you know, the definition of stupidity is continuing to do something the same way and expecting a different result.
That's exactly right.
And we do, but we do.
Yep. Because again, it is a habit. It's absolutely an absolute habit.
Yeah. And so how do you go about doing it? Is there a method to it?
I will say yes and no. The general thing is that I normally send out an evaluation form at the beginning, you know, when I first speak to the people or the client involved. And I really want to make sure that I am going to be the right fit. So, you know, I want to know if and how I can help them. And so that I sort of work a little bit differently as to some kinesiologists. So I do that. And then once we're happy to work with each other, then we'll have the initial consultation. And that normally takes about an hour and a half, something like that. And within that time, we go through a full case history and find out, you know, what the top priorities are to work with. Some people come with a massive list. And some people come with nothing. And yet when you start digging, absolutely. So, you know, you don't really go by what's on the list, you go by what's behind the list type of thing. And once we've sort of worked out what the priorities is for the body and I ask what it is, then we create a goal around that.
And just reiterating for those that don't know kinesiology, you don't ask the person what the priority is, you ask the body.
Actually, it's really funny.
The unconscious mind, don't you?
Exactly. I say to new clients so they don't get too, you know, freaked out, if I'm talking to you, I will look at you. And if I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to another part of you, I'll look away. Because that way people aren't going, was I supposed to answer that? So it just makes life easier for everybody involved. And so we create a goal. So it might be, you know, I don't sleep well or I've got a pain in my shoulder. So we work out what the opposite is of that. You know, if they're not sleeping well, the goal would be I have something like 8 or 9 hours of wonderful quality sleep and I wake up in the morning feeling energized and refreshed and ready to start the day with zest and vitality. And when I actually test that on the muscles or check it on the muscles, the body went, it always goes, no.
Okay,
what? So what are you saying?
So you're doing it in the reverse as to what you want. So I'm pain-free and
absolutely. Yeah, well, pain-free has still got pain involved in it.
Okay.
So if you have shoulder pain, I also look into the metaphysical sides of it. So you said that Mary had that shoulder. It was a Mary?
No, that wasn't. It was some
whoever
yeah.
had shoulder pain, and it's like carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. So what's the opposite of carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? You know, I am light and free and flexible and, you know, all of those kind of things. So it depends on whether the person wants to work on a physical level, on an emotional level, and we sort of look at both to work out what fits best with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they'd be interconnected though, wouldn't
it? Well, it is. Yeah. It is, but some people really specifically want to work on something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we're going to deeper anyway. So we're going to find what goes on in all the other parts of the life anyway. So it's a matter of finding out the emotion that's associated with the goal, and then through that process of the balance, you know, we might do talking. I might touch some acupressure points, or we might use flower essence, or I might touch a neurovascular point on the head, or and it could be anything. And this is where I, again, ask the body what it needs to start that recuperation process.
And I suppose then working with what the people are wanting out of it too, that means that's congruent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people that are coming are very open to whatever's going to happen anyway. Mm. So, and I'll always let them know, you know, your body has indicated I'm going to touch a point on your head now. Mm. And then we'll talk about what emotion came up and everything. So a lot of people get many, many aha moments, or they'll go, oh my goodness, how did you know that?
Mm.
And it's literally communicating with the body. And as I said, we know everything.
Mm.
So
sort of reminds me of that, the movie, which I haven't seen yet, and I'm going to have to see that, Inside Out.
Oh my goodness, that is so good.
Yeah. It just looks brilliant. And everyone's told me that
it's wonderful. Amazing,
and it's just that we can, and then once we know, we can own those emotions as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Because we all have different personality parts.
Mm.
So, and it's a matter of getting them all together and, you know, them working nicely together and everything like that. So, you know, and then at the end of it, I do the home reinforcement. So I always ask the body what they need to do to take home. It could be physical exercise, affirmations, nutrition, and the client again needs to take responsibility and make sure that they've done it before they come back and see me the next time.
Okay.
So
now I'm going to ask you a few questions before we finish.
Sure.
I think we've covered so much, but some of these ones I've been keeping a list. Okay.
Right.
Is there good stress and bad stress?
Yes, there is.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
It is. The good stress is called Eurostress. And we need some stress in our lives, because if we didn't, we wouldn't get up in the mornings. There'd be no motivation. So we really do need something to get us going. And yes, there is bad stress, and I just call that bad stress.
Okay. So a friend of mine is a bit over the place at the moment, mm-hmm. and some days she just hasn't got any energy, but she's got a lot of stress going on in her life.
Mm.
So that's what's exhausting her, but she needs more of that neuro stress rather than
Euro stress.
Euro.
Yeah,
EU. Stress. Okay. Yeah. So she needs more of that to be able to get them going.
That's right. Yeah. The U stress is the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That gets us running away from the saber-toothed tigers.
Well, no.
That's bad stress. It's adrenaline.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So there's really three stages of stress that we go through, where the cortisol gets released from the brain. It goes down our spinal column and it mixes in with the adrenal glands that sit on top of our kidneys. And we call that the flight, fright response. And there is another one in there as well, which is the freeze response. So a lot of people talk about fight flight, but they forget the freeze. And if you remember my story, when I was 7, I froze.
Mm.
So I was so scared, I did not know what to do. So people do get that freeze and they go, oh my goodness. And what happens in that response is that the blood rushes from our head and it rushes from our body, it pumps more blood into our heart and it pumps the rest of the body to our arms and our legs so that we can fight or run away. So with regards to the stages of stress, one is worse than the other. So the first stage is things like tension, headaches, feeling irritable, sluggish, frustrated. And I go into this more in my workshop into depth, but the second stage is overwhelm and being angry, or you can't sleep properly, or, you know, things might have gone wrong. And what you want to do is, you know, at the end of a week, just come home and relax and have a glass of wine.
Mm.
But what happens then sometimes in our second stage of stress is that we might have a run of stressful things that have happened and we just think, oh, you know, I wouldn't mind having a glass of wine tonight. Mm. And then you find that you have a glass of wine every night.
Every night, yeah.
So, you know, and you just sometimes say to yourself, actually, I wouldn't mind having another one. after you've had the first one. So this is all stress and this is all the bad stuff, because all you want to do is forget the bad stuff and feel happy. So in this particular case is that you're creating a false sense of happiness, and your body's really telling you, go for a walk or do something like that, because that would be so good to get you out in the fresh air and to breathe the fresh, you know, fresh thing, and look at the pretty flowers and everything.
Serotonin? When you get moving, doesn't it help with the sense of little happy?
That's the hormones? Endorphins.
Yeah, when you start moving around as well. Yes,
endorphins. I think you're thinking of oxytocin. No?
No.
Okay. So the endorphins just keep us going. But instead, we have that wine or two and we create a bad habit before we know it, and we're going, how did this happen? So, and then the third stage is you might get sick more, or you have a low immune system, or rashes on your body, or eczema and high blood pressure, and then it gets worse and worse, and we get heart attacks or create cancer in our lives or
It's interesting. My husband had a heart attack about 2 years ago, but he never believed in stress. He never acknowledged there was such a thing as stress until not long before that, and then certainly after it, that realized that that stress caused the body to be in such dis-ease.
Absolutely. It's an accumulation of stress. And, you know, the more stress you allow yourself to get into, the bigger the message. We've got to hear the messages when they're a whisper.
Yes.
You know,
and obviously with the workshops you do, that's what you teach people to do, is to hear the things when they are a whisper, and then how to cope with them.
Absolutely. Because this is more about prevention. I don't want to have to try and help them when they're so broken. I want to help them so that they, you know, they're always okay.
Yeah.
And once, you know, some clients I have had when they've been broken, and it's hard to put them back together again. But once they do, they go, oh, I'll never go this way again. So
we're going to do that again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And luckily they don't. You know, they come and have, you know, a massage, or they go and like have a kinesiology session with me, and it's really about maintenance. What do we do with our car? You know, we put petrol in it so we will get from A to B. We take it to a mechanic and get it maintained. We don't wait until it breaks and goes, oh, what do we do now? It costs a lot more money.
And exactly right. I've said this, I think this in nearly every podcast. We are the most important asset in our business, in our lives, in our business. And if you fail in your business because of your health,
absolutely,
how much is that going to cost you? It's just,
it can be a lot of money, especially if you get to that third stage of stress.
Yeah, absolutely. So takeaway points.
Takeaway points. I think the three simple things to do would be really easy ones. Remember to breathe.
Oh, not just in and out, but.
Yes, actually concentrating and focusing.
Breathe.
Exactly. And that's from your stomach, not from, you know, shallow from your lungs. I have a sticker on my ceiling at my the place that I work out of, and it literally says remember to breathe. And so when the clients actually lie down on the table, and they're already stressed because they're already thinking about what they need to work on and what's coming up, and then they look up at my ceiling and they go, oh, yes, I've got to remember to breathe.
Right.
Because we forget. It's, again, like in a car accident or something of shock happens, what's the first thing we do? We go, and then we don't breathe out.
No.
So what we do initially in that case is we lock in those emotions in our body from that shock.
Yeah.
It's just so easy to do, and it's the hardest thing to do.
Absolutely. I participate in yoga a few times a week, and when we come to the breathing component of it, you know, so it's just that big release breath as well, that it's nice to take the breath in, but just that – just to let it out is
exactly
is quite powerful.
I know. Just a comment on that. I was working with somebody. It was a psychologist, and I was renting a room from there. This is a few years back, and I'd finished my client, and I was sort of, you know, getting all sorted, and I was just going to have some lunch or something like that. And I've obviously done what I always do. I mean, and she came running down the hallway, and she said, "What's wrong?" And I looked at her and went, "What? Nothing's wrong. Why? What happened?" And she said, "Oh, you just had this really big sigh." And I went, "Oh, it's just my way of releasing stress." And she went, "Oh, okay." And it's an easy thing to do.
Yeah, it is easy, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so two more takeaways.
Okay, two more takeaways. Take time out for yourself, whether it be for a moment or a little while. You can take yourself on a mini vacation if you want. Close your eyes and, you know, imagine that you're somewhere else.
And it's good to assign that in your diary.
Yeah.
Well. That way it gets done.
Absolutely.
It's done like other things.
Absolutely. And, you know, with regards to that, get away from your desk. Mm. Walk away from your desk every 90 minutes, just even if it's for 5 minutes or something. Stretch your legs. Go outside into the sunshine. Breathe the fresh air. Have a glass of water and then come back to your desk. And what happens is you feel so much fresher and the thoughts start coming through again.
That's great advice. I do that in the office that I work in, and I do it in my home office as well all the time. And it nearly is only about 60 minutes, but it's, oh, okay, an hour's gone past. Oh, wow, I've achieved an hour's work. Well done, Janine.
Exactly.
Good job. And then I do, especially if it's a beautiful weather like we have in Brisbane.
That's right.
Just walk outside.
Exactly.
So the third one?
Third one, all as I want you to do is put your hand on your forehead.
Okay. I haven't done that for a while. Thank you for reminding me. I've just sat here and did that. Need to hold it longer, but
yeah. Okay. So what we do is we have two emotional stress release points, which is just above our eyes, in line with our eyes, and in the middle of our forehead. So if we actually put our hand sideways, we cover both points. And what that does is that automatically brings blood to the front of our forehead. So again, if we're in that fight flight response, we are literally bringing blood back to our head that's all been drained away, so that allows us to think more clearly. So if we are in a situation where we don't know what to do and we're a bit frazzled, if we put our hand on our forehead, we bring that blood back, we can start thinking again, and that's a really good thing to do.
Thank you for reminding me about that one. It has been a while since I've done that, so yeah. I do appreciate that. So what's happening in Maria Brady's world with courses and business? Let us know how people can get in touch with you, because I know that the people who are local, you know, a lot of people that we know use your services with the kinesiology, but I also know that you're running courses as well, and how people can get in contact and what's happening.
Yeah. Well, again, easy, mariabrady.com.au. So it's got it all there. What I do is hold one-day workshops, and that's usually around 3 to 4 times a year, and it's called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. But with regards to that, it's big for some people. So other people might think that this, you know, what are they worrying about? But it's big for you. So Don't Sweat the Small Stuff is all about, you know, creating a fun, hands-on day. It gets you to spend other, you know, like-minded women and really enjoying some time out for yourself and learning some really great things that you can do and put into practice, and they're easy things. I'm available for one-on-ones as well. I do also have consultations on Zoom, which is like Skype. Because I have some clients who are Gladstone, Toowoomba.
Oh, okay. So they don't have to be local at all?
Because I do other things than kinesiology. So that's one of my little hats. Cool. And I do other things as well. So, and I've created special programs for women who are ready to step up into what's possible.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love that. Step up into what's possible. Yeah. And Maria, you've certainly showed us from, you know, that the experiences of childhood and, you know, going through those situations where you've put yourself in places where people have been controlling, to what you've been doing for the last few years. You've certainly shown us what is possible.
Yeah.
And congratulations on
that.
Thank you. I really want to thank you for joining in this interview on this podcast, on the We Are Women podcast. The information that you've given has been just so valuable, and I am sure that your story and the information and the things that you have to offer people is just, or to offer women in particular, is invaluable. And once again, thank you for joining in.
Thank you very much. I'm very blessed for you to have asked me to do this. It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maria.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.